I'm going to read part of a story called Loyalty. And this story is one story in a group of stories in a book I've been working on called There's Something I Want You to Do. That's true. And in every one of the stories, there's a moment when one character turns to another and says, there's something I want you to do. It's a decalogue, and the first five stories are bravery, loyalty, chastity, charity, and forbearance. And I've gotten as far as lust in the second half. So this is loyalty, and it's too long to read the whole thing, but I'll read as much of it as I can. As much as I love her, I blame Astrid. Astrid told my wife, Corinne, that she could achieve happiness if only she'd leave me. It sounded simple. Leave that guy, walk out the door, you'll achieve happiness, you'll be free. I stood in the driveway. It was sleeting the day Corinne left. I had agreed not to follow her. She was so eager to go, she forgot to use the windshield wipers until she was halfway down the block. She turned the corner. The tires splashed slush. The front end dipped from the bad shocks. And she was gone. Holding on to my infant son, I walked into the garage. Blank-faced, I took an inventory. Jeremy in my arms, my rusting pickup truck, the broken rake, the bent saw, the corroded timing light still on the ledge beneath the back window with the curtains. More inventory. The house itself, my life, my health, my job, a case of beer. My mother, Dolores, upstairs in her room. Astrid thought that happiness was within poor Corinne's grasp, and she said so day after day. Happiness for you, she would say, is a day without Wesley. You are right to say that Wesley crowds you and confuses you. Any morning you wake up without that guy's beer breath on you will be pure profit. Astrid was relentless on the subject of me. She and Corinne worked at the same nurse's station, 3F. In the quiet of the hospital night, plans were hatched. Corinne had been bitching about me, and the topics were, I don't know, the usual. I drank too much on weekends, my dog Scooter slobbered on the bedroom floor, my hands were always dirty from the garage where I worked, and the killer accusation, I was inattentive to her needs. Mostly, Corinne complained about herself, her rickety, soiled life, her confusion, her panic over our baby, her fear of being an inadequate mother, her sadness, that stuff. But I loved her, and she left me. Then I loved Astrid, and I married her. I'm married to her now, and I still love her. She has, I gotta use this word, guile. Corinne, my first wife, had none. You'd think a nurse of all people would take care of her own baby and not be bewildered. But she was. Mousy brown hair, mystified by most conversations, unable to fix a dinner you could serve to guests. She was just about the most lovable thing you ever saw. I lost my heart to her again and again. I'm not saying this is admirable. The minute Corinne was gone, Astrid showed up. I don't recall that prior to that day we had so much as exchanged a moody, sparking glance. She took me into her expert arms. I didn't question it. In about the time it takes to change the painted backdrop in a photographer's studio from a woodland scene to a brick wall, she had left her boyfriend and was presenting me with casseroles and opened bottles of cold beer. I took some advantage of her, but she didn't mind my advances. She was saying, Wes, it seems you are the one. I am surprised. She discounted the flaws I owned up to. My first wife lost her credibility as a character witness, and I got a spell cast on me. She was competent and assured with child rearing, calm in the face of infant tantrums. Jeremy stopped yelling all the time and began to grow. Teeth, toddling, jabber, talk. New toys appeared. The divorce went through without Corinne wanting any custody whatsoever or getting any. Astrid and I married, and pretty soon we had ourselves another child, a startlingly beautiful daughter, Lucy. Corinne called Jeremy when he was grown enough to talk, but she couldn't manage to see him, or so she said in her jumbled, haphazard way. She was too delicate, and she claimed that her strings were too tightly strung for ordinary social life. Visits would put a stress on her immune system, she said. Anyway, she couldn't manage them. Jeremy suffered from this absence, but when it became permanent, he didn't suffer anymore. Because Astrid had taken over the mom chores with such competence and love. So Corinne called instead of visiting, and mostly she wrote letters. My God, those letters. Moms aren't supposed to write letters like that. The coffee spills, the anarchy handwriting, the paragraphs without topics, the sentences without subjects and verbs. Jeremy's letters back to Corinne were full of the news of his childhood. But after a while, his letters became very half-hearted, quoting baseball statistics. He wrote them with decreasing frequency.